The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Good morning. This is Mariana Cacciatore, and I am excited today to introduce you to our guest. In 2002, Robert Littman was given a $15,000 grant to study a breathing technique called the Buteyko Method of Breathing Retraining, which helps people with serious medical breathing conditions. Today, he's treated countless people and is the founder of a comprehensive program that combines breathing and movement, which he calls the Breathable Body, which is a beautiful name. We'll speak with him in a few minutes. I'd like to begin with a brief explanation of what Bread for the Journey is. We're a nonprofit organization that's working to democratize philanthropy. We help ordinary people form giving circles where they pool resources within a community and then give them away to other people in the same community, usually in the same community. Sometimes we have one chapter that is in Arizona that is serving a community in Tibet, and we'd love to grow that portion of our business as well. But most of our other chapters raise money within a community and give it away in that same community. They give grants in areas that serve many different needs: children and youth, women and girls, families and elders, meeting basic needs like food, work, shelter. We give grants in the area of education or diversity, equity, justice, environmental needs, the arts. So a wide range of things, because we believe a community needs a lot of different things. And we like supporting ideas that arise from the community itself, and that, you know, a community needs a lot of, there's a lot of expressive and creative people that arise from the community who have ideas for how to make the community better that come from something they've experienced themselves. So putting limits on what we give to doesn't really work for us. We like a wide range of things. So let me give you an example of a story. It's very common in our organization. Several years ago in Denver, the city was seeing an uptick in day laborers standing on street corners. So they decided, rather than have them spread across the city, and that they wanted to, they donated a building, and it was in a well-traveled street corner, easy to get in and out of, and they wanted to create a place where those people who were seeking jobs could meet the people who were looking for workers. And so in addition to a building that had a great parking lot and was easy to get in and out of, they also provided a staff person to manage the group, and it was working quite well. But soon they sort of discovered that sometimes laborers would come prepared with some tools and things that they may or may not need that day. And so they, if they didn't need them, they wanted a place in the building where they could store them safely. And so they came to Bread for the Journey and asked for a grant for pre-made lockers, which turned out to be quite expensive. And so we sat down with them and asked if we could find an alternative way to take care of the need, one that wasn't quite so expensive. Bread for the Journey gives micro grants. You know, sometimes they're $500 or $700. We can go up as far as $3,000, but they're small grants. And so, but, you know, we knew that there were resources within the community, within that community. And so we sat down with them, and instead of saying no, we asked them to think about what they might be able to do to solve this problem in a way that wasn't quite so expensive. And so after a few days of discussion, they called us back in and told us that they had an idea for the day laborers themselves to build the lockers. And so they had researched the materials, and they came back to us with a price we could afford. And we gave them the money, and they made the lockers. But the best part of the story is that a real relationship was forged among the day laborers, who had an opportunity to create something together, something of real value that was going to serve them. And so we felt like in every way it was a win-win situation. And there, we have 1,000 stories like this. We've been around since 1988, and we're in 26 cities around the country. And if you want to know more, you can go to our website, breadforthejourney.org. So in our work, we get to meet some of the most incredible people who are thoughtful, creative, resourceful, empathic, community-minded people. And so our radio show was created to introduce those people to you, to highlight the kinds of things you don't hear on the evening news. Because we think stories like this are newsworthy. They illustrate and lift up a huge segment of our society that don't get airtime. And so our humanity is kind of bereft of reflections that are, in my opinion, accurate of how the world works and the kind of people that make up the world we live in. So with that, I'd like to introduce you to one of the people, those people, and his name is Robert Littman. He is the founder and director and certified practitioner of Asthma-Free Arizona, teaching the Buteyko Institute method of breathing retraining. He's a movement professional and creator of something he calls the breathable body. He's an authorized continuum movement teacher, incorporating an experiential approach to learning anatomy and biology using continuum movement breaths, sound, and movement. Robert has been working in the field of health since 1988, teaching internationally and maintaining a private practice in Tucson, Arizona. We're going to talk today about Asthma-Free Arizona and the Buteyko method. We're going to talk about continuum movement and his own program called the Breathable Body. So welcome to our show, Robert.
Thank you, Mariana. Good morning, and good morning to everybody who's listening.
Great.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. So I'd like to begin the interview by reading something written by Jane Brody, who is the personal health columnist for the New York Times. She's been doing that job since 1965, and she wrote this article in 2009. I'm not going to read the whole article, just parts of it. So it begins this way. I don't often write about alternative remedies for serious medical conditions. Now, however, in describing an alternative treatment for asthma, I am going beyond my usually stringent research criteria for three reasons. The treatment is harmless if practiced as directed with a well-trained therapist. It has the potential to improve the health and quality of life of many people with asthma while saving healthcare dollars. And I've seen it work miraculously well for a friend who had little choice but to stop using the steroid medications that were keeping him alive. My friend, David Weeb, 58, of Woodstock, New York, is a well-known maker of violins and cellos with a 48-year history of severe asthma that was treated with bronchodilators and steroids for 2 decades. 10 years ago, Mr. Weeb noticed gradually worsening vision problems, eventually diagnosed as a form of macular degeneration caused by the steroids. 2 leading retina specialists told him to stop using the drugs if he wanted to preserve his sight. He did, and endured several terrifying trips to the emergency room. He said, I was ready to give up my eyesight and go back on steroids just so I could breathe better. Then last spring, someone told him about the Buteyko method, a shallow breathing technique developed in 1952 by a Russian doctor, Konstantin Buteyko. And he said, when I came to the center, I was without hope. I was using my rescue inhaler 20 or more times in a 24-hour period. But 3 months later, after a series of lessons and refresher sessions in shallow breathing, I am using less than one puff of the inhaler each day. No drugs, just breathing exercises. So I'd like to begin right there, Robert, and have you tell us a little bit about the what Buteyko is.
It's a beautiful story, and I just want to say that the story is really relevant and moves me a great deal, because that's pretty much my path on this as well. I have a daughter who's now in her 40s, who was a severe asthmatic most of her life, and I would say it's about 15 years now. I got a call from her one morning from the hospital saying I had a severe asthma attack, and I was on my way to dying, that the fire department had to axe the door down. I was already had collapsed the lung and was dying.
Wow.
And she was in the hospital the next morning, and she called me and she said, you know, they're putting all the drugs in me they possibly can, and I can feel inside of me I am not going to make it. And so and this was in San Francisco, and I was in Tucson, so I was at that hospital bed within 3 hours with her, and we practiced this method the entire day, and she was out of the hospital the next morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and on her way to recovery, and has not had an asthma attack since. So I am pretty dedicated to this work, and it is one of the reasons that I got into it in the first place was for my daughter. You know, I like to tell a story that I send her books and I send her diets and I send her all these things, and nothing, not that they didn't work, but that they were too complicated for her to take on. And I always like to say that if the breathing is the problem, you got to go into the breathing to fix the problem. And that is exactly what the Buteyko method does. It really takes a look at how asthmatic breathing disrupts the body's internal blood chemistry, the gases of breathing, because of the breathing pattern of the asthmatic. And if we can interrupt that breathing pattern and rebalance the blood gases, then the symptoms and the arisal of the attacks becomes less numerous, infrequent, and as a result of that, then there's less medication needed because they're not having any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dr. Buteyko, who discovered this method in the 50s, found it pretty much the same way by watching asthmatics breathe. He was becoming a doctor after World War II and noticed that people who were in the IC units who breathed rapidly and took way too many breaths per minute often didn't survive the ICU. And those who had a breathing method that was more like a baby, for those who have children, know that sometimes when your baby is lying there, it's like, is this baby breathing or not? They breathe so little per breath that you don't even know if they're breathing. And he noticed that those who breathed like that came right out of their health crisis and did very, very well. So he
and you're talking about shallow breathing. That's
you
that
know the
phrase.
The word he used the word shallow, and that's the word it got translated from Russia. But oftentimes people complain about having a shallow breath, which means that it's very much at the top of their chest. What we mean by shallow breathing is meaning that you're not having to take frequent, really deep breaths to catch your breath.
Uh-huh, got
that
it.
The breath is just relaxed and easy. So it's not deep, but it's full. It travels throughout the entire lung, and mostly the diaphragm is working rather than the upper chest only. So we've changed that word from shallow to restorative breathing, a breath that restores you rather than dissipates you.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah. So, and that's really the truth, is like some of us really know who have done exercises like yoga or continuum, that when you relax and don't feel a lot of tension in your body, breathing is very easy and quiet. But when there's a lot of tension and there's a lot of stress, we're huffing and puffing to keep up with that level of tension and stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So relaxation is the key.
So once, is it hard for people to learn this process?
No, it's really not hard for them to learn the process. There is a, you know, it depends on the difficulty that they're having to begin with. Part of the process really involves learning how to use the part of your body that really is meant for breathing. And we have this little catchphrase that the mouth is for eating and the nose is for breathing. And you breathe through your mouth as often as you eat through your nose.
That's good.
Kind of memorable, I think.
I would say.
So, you know, and unfortunately, what happens for people who have very severe breathing difficulties is they're gasping for breath through their mouth a lot. So the difficulty comes in, can I make that that change from using my mouth to breathing to using my nose for breathing and not feel like I'm not getting enough air?
Right.
You see, most of the time you will get enough air. It's just that fear that sits behind the lack of being able to get some breath.
Right. I know when I just have a congestive cold, I mean, it only happens occasionally, but it my heart starts beating fast. I can't breathe well. I'm nervous immediately. I don't have other breathing conditions, but I can't imagine what it must be like to try to catch your breath and not be able to. It's frightening.
It is frightening. I mean, that's what asthmatics and people with COPD and emphysema live with all the time, is the fact that, you know, they're very aware of their breathing pattern. And I, being a lifelong asthmatic myself, can tell, oh, this breath, if I continue with this kind of breathing pattern, I'm going to have an asthma attack. Mm-hmm. So the skill of the Buteyko method is to be able to really know the difference and to be able to access a breathing pattern that will not set off an asthma attack and make a switch almost instantaneously, so to move out of that breathing pattern.
Right.
So learning how to do that is really, you know, it just takes a little bit of practice, a little bit of attention, and a willingness to have a healthy breathing pattern.
We're going to take a break in a moment, and I'm interested in this and how it interacts with how our just walking through the world breathing, if they're the same or if it's lessons. But we'll get into that as soon as we come back from our break. So stay with us as we are speaking with Robert Littman. We'll be right back.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace to speak at a glance, without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
Are you a single parent trying to create the balance between home life and work life? You may be running a successful business, but how are your relationships with your family and children? If you're one of the thousands of people trying to juggle it all, tune in to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris is the portrait of the success story. Coming to the U.S. with no language skills, founding and growing several businesses while raising his daughter from age 7 to adulthood as a single dad. Listen every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Well, Welcome back, and we're here talking with Robert Littman, founder and director of Asthma Free Arizona, teacher of the Buteyko method of breathing, and creator of the Breathable Body. I had asked you earlier, Robert, is it hard to learn this? And it sounds like it's not difficult to learn it. What I'm curious about is, once you learn it, do you just do it a few times a day, or are you actually retraining your body to breathe this way every time we take a breath?
Well, the exercises of Buteyko themselves are not really meant to be done for more than, let's say, 90 minutes a day, as a way of bringing your awareness to the difference between a breathing pattern that feels stressed and a breathing pattern that feels relaxed. So the exercises of Buteyko are not what you carry through the day, but the awareness of a relaxed breathing process is what you carry through the day. So that we say that we'd rather you live in the method than do the method. So I have a client right now in Texas who is just moving into that place. She's noticing that she's a school teacher, and she's noticing that her response to the stresses of school have greatly reduced because she's staying relaxed in her breathing. So she is able to not be as reactive to stresses and just see them come and go and keep her breathing just normalized at all times.
So she's really living in the method.
In the method. The biggest piece about it, if I can go back to that nose breathing piece for a minute, and what mm-hmm. you mentioned about being anxious when your nose gets stuffed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know that there's a fight and flight mechanism in our body. And if we were to see this is an exaggeration, a bear come through the door, we would take a big gasp of breath in. Well, that big gasp of breath in is meant to trigger the autonomic nervous system, the part that you don't have much control over, into fight or flight, so that your heart races, your breathing speeds up, your muscles tense for action, and you're ready to run or fight for your life. Well, the mechanism in our body works the same way whether we're speaking or whether we're walking through the day. Every time you use your mouth for breathing, you trigger that part of your nervous system that says, is there a threat around? Mm-hmm. So anxiety begins to build in right away. And so if you're using your mouth for breathing a lot during the day, and especially while talking, you're always keeping yourself in a bit of an anxious state.
Oh, how interesting.
So we like to say in Buteyko to pace yourself in your life so that you can breathe through your nose all the time. So that if you find yourself, you know, shopping or going to the car, or like me, when I make the bed, somehow, for some reason, making the bed makes me crazy. And I notice I like to mouth breathe when I make the bed. So it exacerbates a chore that I don't really like. So I have to be very conscious. Okay, nose breathe while you're making the bed. And sure enough, 2 minutes later, the bed's made and there's been no problem. So the idea is to pace yourself so you can breathe through your nose all the time. If you're moving too quickly, you're not doing your health any service. You're doing it a disservice.
Right.
Nothing is that important in the everyday life that demands that you ruin your nervous system and your health. It's your choice. We run our lives.
It's really instructive. You know, I've done work in grief, and I use breath often to keep myself centered when I'm with somebody in an anxious situation. And it happened, actually, you know, I began doing that work after having maybe 5 or 6 years of a regular meditation practice. And so at a moment when I was incredibly anxious, I was running a group, and a woman was in the group, a parent who had lost her child, was telling a very detailed story in minute detail about the death of her daughter. And I was protective of the group and feeling nervous. And all of a sudden, something happened. My breath kicked in and I began breathing through my nose and slowing down my breath. It happened automatically because something in me saved me in that moment. But I noticed a few minutes after that my entire body began to calm down and I began to be protected. I began to be present with her, and I began to be less protective of everybody in the group. What I really got was that they all had their own, they were all there and present for this woman. I didn't need to take care of them. Everybody wanted to be there. We got it. And I wasn't until this moment, and actually this happened such a long time ago, and I tell the story all the time, I didn't realize that it was breathing through my nose. I just wasn't conscious of it. Mm-hmm. So what an instructive moment. Thank you. I think a lot of people, you know, when they're doing yoga or any kind of calm yourself down, knowing that you're breathing through your nose rather than through your mouth is incredibly instructive in the practice of calming down using your breath.
Absolutely. It's the it balances the fight and flight with rest and settle, so that you're moving into a settled place and rested inside of yourself, which pretty much means that you are being connected to yourself in the moment. And that energy transmits to other people in the room.
It's really great.
It's you know, there's two things I want to say, but I did train a doctor here who works in hospice care. And he started using it with people who were dying and found that the passage out was much more relaxed and easier for those people who were dying, to have them breathe through their nose and for him to be in that field of quiet.
Right.
See, I believe that the most important relationship I have in my life is my relationship with my breathing. That my spirit lives in my body, and my body is in relationship with my breath. And if I am aware of that relationship, I am in a deep level of intimacy and presence in the moment. And whatever I need to know comes out of the surrender to the intimacy of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have to look for any answers. The answers are all right there. My inner knowing has the right answer.
Right. Mm-hmm. I so inherently believe in that, and now making this connection between how breathing, particularly breathing through the nose, brings us to that place, brings that wisdom right to the surface.
Yeah, I'm very happy for my listeners, sorry, excuse me for interrupting, to go to my website, thebreathablebody.com, and write me, and I have compiled a research list, and a lot of it is through my own experience, and I often ask my breathing, teach me something today, what do you want to tell me? And I've gathered a two-page list of the advantages, physiological advantages of what it means to breathe through your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be happy to email that to anybody who writes me. At thebreathablebody.com is the website, and they can find my email address there.
Great, great. So we talked in the opening about Buteyko and asthma-free Arizona. And I'm guessing, you know, well, maybe before we go into Continuum, you can say briefly what Asthma Free Arizona is.
Well, Asthma Free Arizona was the company I originally set up when I came back from New Zealand, where I learned the Buteyko breathing method after working in hospitals there. And since I was an asthmatic and my daughter was an asthmatic, I was very keen to work with asthmatics, because the statistics and the studies they've done around the world is that most asthmatics who use the Buteyko method within 3 months will have a 96% reduction in their short-term reliever medication, a 49% reduction in their steroid medication, and an 81% in overall symptoms within 3 months.
It's an amazing statistic.
It is amazing. And so I was very keen to work with asthmatics specifically. And as I moved more into the work, I began to see that there was a lot of need for many reasons, for anxiety, especially in this culture, for sleep apnea, for digestive disorders, for skin disorders. So I widened my perspective to the breathable body to work with a larger audience. And so I still provide the Buteyko method, the principles and the instruction, but now I combine it with continuum movement, which has also been practicing since the 80s.
So that's a perfect segue for us to talk about continuum. What is it?
Continuum was created by Emily Conrad of Brooklyn, New York, who now lives in Los Angeles. It's over 42 years old. And it's a contemplative movement practice where no way of moving is laid over your current movement patterns. It's a way of using sound and breath and small wave-like motions to bring your attention to the inside of your body. What is moving on its own inside of you that you can follow? So it's a waking up process of what it means to live inside a body and to feel like you have access to your own movement patterns. And the way that breathing works in that is that breathing is, it's so wonderful that we have the earth to look at as an example, because what makes water move on the planet is the wind over water. And our body is two-thirds water, and all our nutrient supply And all the movement is moving inside the water of our body. So breathing initiates the movement of our water body, which is what we experience when we move around the room. So continuum is a way of bringing your attention inward so that you gain inner knowledge and awakeness in your own body on how to move your body. And in terms of the breathing, if I can, through movement and sound, wake up your awareness inside of your nose and inside of your throat and inside of your lungs, and so that you actually feel the movement of air through you and feel your body open to receive it, then you are actually in the experience of your breath, and you have more say on, do I need a fast breath now, a slow breath now? What kind of breathing pattern really serves me at the moment?
Well, it's just remarkable to me. I've been just breathing through my nose and listening to you and since we've been talking. And I mean, it's in a way, my feet are tingling right now. My legs are, I'm like, I can really feel the aliveness in my body.
Sure.
And it's
yogis. Yeah, sorry, yogis have been saying it all along. It's the prana, the life force.
Exactly right. Duh. Yeah. So can you just give us an example of what some of the sounds are in the continuum movement?
Well, the easiest one I can give you for now, which really has a wide variety of possibility, both for it's producing gases and also bringing you into awareness, is really just basically to hum, to make a sound like hmm, or maybe a vowel sound like an O, O. And then when you do that, there's a vibration that gets created. And so your awareness is now on where your body is vibrating. So the next breath you take will move right into the place that you just felt yourself vibrating. Mm-hmm. And you can feel your breath there. So now you actually feel your breathing.
And so if a person were a student of yours and practicing the things in a breathable body, they might find themselves, well, first of all, breathing through their nose and paying attention, and during a session at home themselves, they would be making sounds, particular sounds, and paying attention to how that vibration feels in various places, sort of like letting their body come alive through breath and sound. Mm-hmm. And what movement would they perhaps be doing? Can you explain that to our audience?
Sure, I can. Like when you feel a vibration and you feel the breath move in a certain area, let's say I made the vibration of the hum and I feel it like in my cheeks, and I breathe into my cheeks because I feel the breath in my cheeks, it also gives me a shape of the container that my breath was just in. So then I just sort of make small little movements as if I'm moving water from one side of my cheek to the other, like a small little wave motion. So are you playing with that yourself?
I am.
Can you feel that?
I can.
Yeah, it's sort of like if I was a bigger way to just experience it, which is to sit on your chair, one of the ways to practice breathing, and let me just say it this way, is to come to the edge of your chair where you're just sitting mostly on those bones that are inside your gluteal part of your body, your butt muscles, and that your feet are not really being supported by the chair, and that your feet are flat on the floor and spread like you were sitting on a horse. It's a horse rider position.
Right.
And so that actually puts you sitting straight up right away. You don't have to sit up, do something to sit up. It just straightens your back.
It does.
And breathing becomes easier immediately. It slows down. It has less effort to get in.
I should sit like this when I'm doing my work during the
day.
I spent so much time at my computer.
Absolutely. And so if you were to just sort of maybe think of yourself coming off center a little bit and just rocking from side to side and front to back. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of motion we're talking about, just the inside rocking.
Got it.
Yeah.
I hope our listening audience is doing the same as I'm doing, because it's very instructive.
I'll give you another tip. So another way to figure out whether you see, one of the things that my pet peeve of mine, if you will, is this idea about teaching people to breathe correctly. you know. One of my students said, oh, every time I'm told to breathe correctly, I feel like inside of me is a wild stallion who's just been corralled and is doing its best to get out of the corral. It makes me crazy when I try to breathe correctly. And of course you cannot, because the gift of breath is its flexibility and adaptability. That when you are happy, you will breathe with a happy breath. When you are sad, you may breathe with a teary breath. Or if you're anxious, your breath may be fast. If you're reading a good book and you're excited, your breathing will be fast. It's always changing. There are really no two breaths alike. They're like snowflakes.
Right.
It's always adapting to your circumstance, both internal and external circumstance. And those circumstances are always changing. You have a thought, you have a feeling, it will change the pace of your breathing. And so allowing yourself to sit in this position and feel breath moving in you in many different ways makes you recognize that there's no right or wrong in my breathing. My breathing is here to serve me.
Right.
Now, my body is the receptacle of my breathing. So if I can put it in a position that at least invites the breath in a gentler way, I'm getting it one step ahead.
Right.
So this horse rider position does that. And I suggest that people put their hands on a chest and hands between their belly button and the bottom of the ribs. And feel which hand moves first.
Uh-huh, right, right.
And oftentimes people who have difficulty find that the chest breathes first.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the belly to move first, because that's right. Not belly breathing. It's just telling us that the diaphragm is working, which is the major breathing muscle.
That's right, that's right.
And so,
go ahead.
Just saying this one thing. So when you sit in this chair, one of the things, that this is an issue of trust, that if you allow yourself to just recognize that the chair and the floor are holding you, you can release some of that weight that you might be using to hold yourself up to just rest in the chair. And then usually people find that their diaphragm starts to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk more about this as soon as we come back from a break. And I love the phrase that you use, the gift of breath. Mm. And so we're going to come back. Listening audience, please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Robert Littman to go a little bit deeper into the breathable body.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join your hosts Gary Ray and Ted Griffin Jr. as they show what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
On the weekends, you like to relax with your girlfriends, a cup of tea, your favorite magazine, and some stories and fun. So why not check out Sister Seriously? It's all that and a whole lot more. Host Kelly Chevalier and her guests will bring you stories and tips designed to encourage women everywhere. Find out more about fashion, interior design, beauty, and entertaining. Sure, we make mistakes like everyone else, but the goal is to find out how to overcome and live the fabulous life for free. Sisters Seriously is live every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here talking with Robert Littman and the Breathable Body. And, you know, I was saying before we left this sort of, you had said the phrase, the gift of breath. Mm-hmm. And as we have continued on with this interview, I'm really seeing what an incredible gift this thing that we have, it's with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, doesn't go away. Our breath to save us and to give us a deeper experience of this life.
Yeah, I do treat it as a sacred gift that without it, my life doesn't exist. And I was, as we were talking the other day and preparing for this, I thought about, oh, bread for the journey, breath for the journey. Our life is a journey and we certainly need breath for it. And it's right there with us. You know, one of the gifts is the amelioration of pain. A lot of the times, I don't want to be too categorical about it, but a lot of times the issue of pain in our body has to do with a lack of breath in that part of our body.
Oh, interesting.
That it's an ischemic reaction to lack of oxygen. One of the things breath does is it brings oxygen to the cells that makes energy, and if the cells cannot receive that, they're in starvation mode, which is a high level of stress, and also contracted. And so lots of times you hear people talking about, well, if I could only put some breath in that area. So one of the gifts of breath, of learning how to use your breath properly, especially with that sound that I talk about, not properly, but in a way that supports you, is to learning how to put your breathing in areas of your body that may be hungry for breath. And so creating vibrations and getting parts moving. See, one of the gifts of breath is not only the oxygen, but it's movement. Movement is a nourishing part of how we live our life. We have to be internally moving to be nourished. So I see the gift of breath as the number one way that we nourish ourselves, that we bring ourselves the pleasure of feeling our bodies move through our breathing.
Amazing.
So I like to think of the breath as, can I allow myself to be nourished by it?
Right. Yeah. I'm just excited about the idea, yeah. that picture of being able to there's not a better word, nourish mm-hmm. a part of our body that might have pain mm-hmm. with something that is already inherent in the body by directing that and perhaps adding sound.
Yes, sound to help you locate yourself. Or, you know, another nice thing is to have somebody just put their hands on you in the place that you feel pain and just imagine yourself breathing in that place. The outside tactile touch will draw breath to that place. Mm-hmm. Our breathing is so accommodating. All you have to do is imagine the location that you want breath, and breath will go right there. Your imagination becomes your awareness, and your breathing goes to right to where your awareness is located.
Mm-hmm.
Such a gift. The other parts that I really have learned, you know, I have been, to tell the truth on myself, I've been married 3 times. My marriage now to my wife Helen has lasted 28 years, so I feel like I'm finally gaining some success in being married, being in a relationship. And I have to tell you, this is the honest truth, that the reason that I am still in this relationship is that I let my breathing teach me skills to be in relationship.
Mm.
For instance, one of the things that we always hear in relationship is, can you listen? Will you listen to me? Can you receive what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What is it like to meditate on your breath, to say, how do I receive my own breath? What do I need to do to just really feel and receive what is coming into me? And as I learn how to do that, I learn how to receive others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How can I feel the connection to myself through my own breathing? When I feel that inner connection, I know how to connect to other people. I know what it takes to connect.
And in my experience, what naturally arises is the desire to connect.
Exactly.
It's so true. It's like we feel a connection with ourselves, and as human beings, I think it's so natural that we want to have some kind of connection with others, which is, you know, at the other end of the spectrum, why solitary confinement is so punishing mm-hmm. and makes people crazy. I mean, literally makes one crazy.
Well, you hear in the workshops a lot, especially in my continual workshops, if you ask people what they want, a sense of belonging.
Right.
And the truth is we already belong. Right. And if you wanted to use an example, we belong through the air we share.
Right.
It's everybody on the planet is using the same atmosphere. We are connected through that. What we know that the trees take in and give us back, but so do all the people around us. What comes out of our exhale is what other people take in their inhale.
Right. Right.
So it's almost we're personally responsible to be relaxed in our breathing so that we transmit peace in our own breath.
It's so beautiful.
And one of the ways that we can do that, I just want to point this out because this is really very important in sustaining an ability to stay emotionally connected to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for you as well as for our listeners today. If you imagine a situation in where you feel really joyous or where you have felt a tremendous amount of joy, and just take a couple of three breaths in and out of your nose and see how you are able to sustain that sense in your body of joy, calling up joy. And then after you've sustained that for three or four breaths, just take a, have the feeling of joy and then just go, oh, out of your mouth and see if that feeling's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And the exhale out of the mouth dissipates your connection to your emotional self, while the cycling of breathing in and out of your nose continues to keep you connected to your emotional body, which is your most connecting intelligence, our empathy for ourselves and for others.
Mm.
It's a very important gift that we can use to stay connected.
So I have a question here.
Sure.
You've been doing this work for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that there are some people who you have worked with for a long time. And I imagine that there are changes that go beyond what you already talked about, how using breath has helped strengthen and deepen your own relationship and perhaps kept your marriage, vibrant and alive and together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a story of somebody, perhaps that, without divulging name and personal information about them, that might show us some of the benefits that are, perhaps emotional or psychological or even spiritual that might have occurred in a person's life over time in working with you in this method?
I had an 8-year-old boy who came to me who his mother brought him in. He had been beaten up in the playground, and he was a basketball. He had a very, very skilled basketball player, and he couldn't sleep. He was riddled with anxiety, couldn't play basketball, couldn't go to school, couldn't sleep. So his mother brought him to me, and I taught him this method. And I would say within 6 weeks, he accomplished the goals of the class and began to feel himself as whole again. He knew now how to bypass, and not so much bypass, but really how to soothe his anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And went back to school and began to play basketball and moved into high school to be a very highly skilled basketball player. So his life could have been derailed permanently, and he was able to follow his passion and continue on in his basketball career.
That's beautiful.
And it happened also with a couple of young women from a high school here whose parents were smart enough to see that when they were running track and doing their intervals, at the end of their intervals, they'd be on the ground huffing and puffing and couldn't get up for the next interval. And they came to me as well, and I taught them how to breathe, and they actually became track stars in the high school because they were so proficient in learning how to breathe. And I can tell you somebody who's really famous, just another quick story, Sonia Richards Ross is the world's fastest woman at 400 meters, which is a quarter mile. And she has practiced some breathing methods, and the Buteyko method with one of the people that I taught. And I have a picture of her coming across the finish line in Beijing in the most peaceful repose, breathing through her nose, picking up the gold medal.
So that's thank you, Buteyko. Look at where
thank,
I am today.
You. Yeah, very, it's just like, are you kidding me? This woman just ran a quarter of a mile, and she doesn't even look like she's sweating.
So if people wanted to work with you and they don't get to Arizona very often, tell me a little bit about how you teach this in various parts of the country.
If somebody is interested in the area, they contact me. And if we can put about 10 to a dozen people together, I will fly to that city and hold a 3 or 4 day class in the Buteyko method. And usually it's about 4 hours a day for 3 or 4 days. And they learn the method, and then I follow up with them on either Skype or the telephone.
Oh, that's really great. Go ahead.
If they can't do that, I have a lot of clients that I work with on Skype. As long as I can see them and as long as I can watch their breathing, we can work together. I send them the materials and we schedule Skype sessions and I work with them on Skype.
And they can find you by going to The Breathable Body on their computer.
TheBreathableBody.com or Asthma Free Arizona.
Asthma Free Arizona. So I know that you already have some places that you commonly go to. There's a grief and breathing. You can talk more about it. I may have the name of that wrong. Workshop that you do or that you've been doing for 6 years. Why don't you tell us about that and the places where you're already traveling with regularity?
Well, sure. I travel a lot to California, Northern California and Southern California. I travel to San Antonio, Texas as well. And sometimes Colorado. And in Tucson, this class that I teach with my co-teacher, Susan Harper, is called The Heart of Grief into Breath. And it came out of Stephen Levine's book about unattended sorrow, which says that he was talking about how so many times during the day there are moments when we feel sorrowful or grief and we just let them go by. We don't attend to them. And so it occurred to me that it would be important for people to learn that when there is sorrow and when there is grief, there's actually a certain breath that goes with it. And one of the ways that we are not able to express ourselves in those deeper emotions is that we are not able to allow our breathing to have free rein there, that we cut off our breath and therefore we have no access to the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now, and it may not be true, but it's the current way that I'm speaking, is that I feel on the continuum of breathing, grief and joy are at both ends.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't express my grief, I can't express my joy.
Right.
Yeah, so I need to be able to. So I work with my teacher, Susan Harper, using continuum and the sacredness of the space to allow people to open up their breathing and speak to and move with their current griefs that there are need to be expressed.
When you say your teacher, Susan Harper, who is she?
She is a continuum teacher, mm-hmm. and she has a website called Continuum Montage, which is an offshoot of Continuum. And she has focused on using movement to open the heart,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's called The Heart of Grief into Breath. All her work is about the heart. My work is about breath, and Emily Conrad's is about a wider scale of movement.
And the grief workshop, is it several days? And
it's 5 days. It starts March 14th and it ends March 18th, and it's here in Tucson, Arizona. It's the only place we actually teach it.
Uh-huh. Got it. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And I offer Buteyko classes in Tucson and California and other cities, and I have a Buteyko class in Tucson the weekend of January 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Well, that's coming right up for those who might be listening and want to participate.
And there'll be other postings on the website for classes in February and March. I just post them as the months come up.
Got it. Great. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been very exciting and interview. One of my very favorite, Robert. And I'm so grateful for the ease with which you can talk about what it is that you do and the depth, actually. And it was really fun, myself, being able to do some of the breathing exercises mm-hmm. with you. And I go to Tucson all the time because my family is there. After this conversation, I'm sure to make an appointment and
begin
doing some work with you.
Love it.
And is there anything you want to say before we close?
No, I was born not being able to breathe. I had to spend 6 weeks in the hospital until I could go home and breathe on my own. And so it was a gift to me. I've been gifted this, and it was no coincidence that somebody, you know, just offered me $15,000. I got a grant that I got this grant for $15,000. It's kind of like you said, around a dinner table. So I feel like I'm in service to the population, to educate. So please feel free to write me. fees, feel free to call me. I'd be happy to spend time talking to those who need to have a little bit more information on how to get more access to this information.
You have used that gift so well in the direction of your work, Robert, and I'm honored. I'm honored to know you, and I'm honored to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to really be here and pass this information along to your wide audience.
Great. Mm-hmm. So in closing, Bread for the Journey is a nonprofit organization, and we could use your support. If you find a place in your heart to make a financial contribution, if you'd like to participate in this spreading the word to the world about a whole segment of our population that do not get airtime generally on our evening news, or if you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey in your town, please go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. And I believe that if we all pitch in a little bit, we can change the world. And I close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.